Like Fet continues on Milwaukee Public Radio, I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Cremona, Italy is thought of as the virtual mecca for makers of string instruments, violins, violas, cellos. So it makes sense that Robert Cohen, cellist for the Fine Arts Quartet and our On That Note contributor, would find himself there.
But he wasn't there as a tourist or just to see a concert. Like Fet's Bonnie North reached him via Skype from Italy to find out just what brought him to Cremona.
Well, there is a concert this evening, but I've been here for a week judging a violin-making competition. It's probably called the kind of Olympics of violin-making. I mean, it's sort of the world's most important violin-making competition. And it's not only extraordinary as a competition, but also it's amazing because we're in Cremona, which is the home of Stradivarius, the great Antonio Stradivari, the greatest, possibly the greatest maker of musical instruments ever. And this whole town is dedicated to violin making in a way you cannot imagine. I mean, literally, there are 200 violin makers who live in this small and very, very beautiful town. And every restaurant, every hotel, every shop window has violins in it, has instruments of all sorts. And, you know, it's one of the few places in the world you can walk around with a cello and nobody asks you, what is that?
Or why you have it.
Yes. So I've been on a panel and there are five musicians judging instruments that have been sent in by violin makers, violin, viola, cello, and double basses from all around the world. And there are also a panel of violin makers, expert violin makers. And our job has been to sift through, I think, 400 instruments to try and find a worthy gold prize winner in order to put that instrument alongside the incredible instruments that are in the museum, the Stradivari Museum in Cremona, which is where I'm speaking from.
Amazing. I'm trying to imagine being there, being surrounded by all of that music, by being surrounded by all of those people making instruments to make music, and of course the food, but I understand you haven't had much time for that.
Well, that was not strictly true, actually. Just not this afternoon, that's all.
So the instruments that you have been judging, they're going to go into the museum. Is the idea that they get the gold medal and then they go into production as well?
No, I think really what happens is in this museum are some of the great violins and cellos and violas in a collection, some of them by Stradivari, some of them by Guarneri. And they're also, because this is a triannual competition, it happens every 3 years, and the winners of those competitions from their category, for instance, if it's a violin or a viola, for instance, that person will have their instrument displayed here actually permanently, which is not quite the same as all the other instruments, but it's a kind of record of, you know, a search for the next Stradivari, really. You know, if you win this competition, it's like winning the top competition in the world. You are immediately branded as a great maker, and people will, you know, commission you to make instruments left, right and center, really. I mean, you're going to be in huge demand. So even though it's sort of strange to have your instrument put in a glass case, which is a little bit against the musician's kind of religion, really, but it's kind of the opportunity for a maker to be recognized just winning the competition. And then, of course, if you are somebody who a tourist coming to look at the great instruments, you will also see theirs. The process has been very interesting, actually, of how we've come to choose instruments. Because first of all, the violin makers, they look through all 400 instruments and they take out any ones that so-called break the rules of the competition or are just kind of not up to the level that they feel should be looked at by the musicians.
So what are the rule breakers? What kinds of things can't be on an instrument?
Well, for this particular competition, there are certain things like they can't be made to look old. And there are techniques to make instruments look old, even if you know they're not, but they can look beautiful and age, just like, you know, you can age a dining room table. It's the same thing with violins or cellos. So that's not in the rules. And then they're not allowed to make pure copies of instruments, so to speak. There has to be something that's there of their own style in it. And then it's just a question of also level of craftsmanship has to be high enough. And once those instruments are passed through to the players, we then have to play them to each other kind of endlessly, day in and day out, until we kind of sift through them, until we come to a point where we're down to a kind of finals, as it were. And we have to, yeah, we have to mark them, as we have to have a mark as well. And then our mark is combined with the makers, the instrument makers' mark, because it's very important to this competition that the instruments not only sound really good, but they're also beautifully made.
How many have you played? How many cellos have you played in this week that you've been there?
Well, I think I've played probably something like 40 cellos. But I've also listened to something like 100 violins and 75 violas and 20 basses. And each one has to have serious consideration. You really have to try to see whether it has potential, it has beauty, quality and strength, and whether it's playable, whether it's even from bottom to top, whether it's something that you'd want to listen to if you went to a recital, whether you'd get irritated by the sound it made. And this is all kind of independent of what the player can actually produce from the instrument. So when I was playing the cellos to the other members of the jury, they had to try to not to listen to me as such, to what, you know, I could do with the sound, but try to listen past that to the raw qualities of the instrument. And that's really very challenging, because when you take an instrument, you adapt yourself and the way you play to make it sound as beautiful as possible wherever you are on the instrument. And, you know, from years of experience, I've learned to do that quite well, along, you know, my colleagues are the same. So we kind of can disguise when the instrument, where its weaknesses are. But at the same time, you also, it's like suddenly you will hear an instrument, you'll think, ah, oh, now that is a real violin. You know, there's that moment where you know. Or you'll hear something which is really beautiful, but you know it just does not have the power that's necessary when you play it against an orchestra as a soloist or with piano. And then there are different rounds. We do have a round where we play with piano and solo, and also there's a round where the violin makers listen as well behind a screen. So there are different ways of testing them. And actually tonight is the kind of final presentation of the instruments that have been have been given an award, or at least are in the top two or three.
And so I assume you have a favorite.
Yes. I'm not really allowed to say. If I'm say too much, I'm in the building right now, and this is like top secret. I'm
understood.
Not allowed to say anything. But I can say that it's actually very, very hard work. Actually playing these instruments when they're new, when they've hardly ever been played and haven't been played in, is also very tricky, because it's not really showing the instruments in their best light. But it is, you know, it is this thing, when you hear something very special, even though it's brand new, you just know it.
Well, you're off to play the concert tonight. Robert, thank you so much for taking a brief time. You need to get some food. You're in Italy.
That will not be difficult at all. I just need a few minutes.
Right. So
on my way to the concert.
Well, we'll let you go to do that. But thank you so much for joining us from Cremona. I love doing these across the pond conversations. I kind of almost feel like I'm there. I just want to hear the concert now.
Ah, yes. Well, it is very, very, very special. And I'm so pleased that we've been able to do this today, because I think just being in the heart of this, actually, you know, as I said, really beautiful and highly unusual town and surrounded by pictures of violins and just instruments everywhere. It's just an extraordinary experience, and I felt very excited about being here and being able to talk to you from here. So thank you.
Robert Cohen is the cellist from Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet, and his feature, On That Note with Robert Cohen, airs monthly on Lake Effect. He spoke with Bonnie North from Cremona, Italy.